Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Good evening, Father.
As we celebrate this great feast of all the saints, we celebrate it not to honor them, because there's really no way we could ever honor the saints more than our Lord is already honoring them in heaven. He has already bestowed upon them his grace and his blessing and his glory and his beatific vision. There's nothing we could give them that would even compare with that gift. So why do we really celebrate this feast? It's not for the sake of the saints. They're reigning gloriously in heaven. It's for us. It's first to seek their intercession. They're so close to the throne of God. It's the best place to pray. And so they can simply beseech him on our behalf whenever we cry out to them. But it's also to recall their memory, the holiness of their life, and hopefully seek to imitate that and become saints one day ourselves. And it's not just the known or approved saints that we honor today, but it's all of the souls in heaven. It doesn't matter whether you went through purgatory to get there. If you're in heaven, you're a saint. And we can seek your intercession and to some degree follow your example. And for all of us, again, there's two basic classifications of saints. There's the sinner who, trusting in God's mercy, became virtuous. Those are the ones we typically know about. They became quite virtuous and holy, and we admire their lives. And then there are the sinners, trusting in God's mercy, repented and repented over and over again, and so they got into heaven through his mercy. Either way they got there, either way we can learn from their example. That's why every year the church gives us this particular reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the Beatitudes, because, if you will, the Beatitudes given to us by our Lord himself are the prerequisites for sainthood. He says, if you want to be holy like me, then you need to aspire to these virtues, to be poor in spirit, to mourn. Of course, here he doesn't mean just be sorrowful. He means to mourn over sin, to be meek or humble, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to desire holiness, he says, to be merciful, to be pure of heart, to be peacemakers, and to suffer persecution for the sake of righteousness. These are the qualities that make up the saints of God, and these are the qualities that we need to seek ourselves. But it's obviously not easy to be a saint. For one simple reason, it's not easy to want to be a saint. It's a nice idea. We read about the saints and we love them and we think, yeah, that would be nice. Sure, I'd love to be a saint, but it's such hard work that most of us just don't have the desire for it. And the saints themselves tell us that you receive grace according to the degree of your desire. It's very simple. You will become as holy as you want to be, because God will provide any grace that you so desire. And so how do we stir into flame that desire for holiness in our hearts? It's not easy. And why is it not easy? Because there are many other things that we love. Sadly, we don't always love holiness, God, virtue, above all other things. There are so many wonderful things in this world that we love, that we need. And because those things are so close to us, so proximate, because we can see them and touch them and taste them, it's very easy to prefer them over greater goods, over holiness, over love of God and love of neighbor. And that's the struggle that we all have. That's ultimately why we're not necessarily saints ourselves, not yet at least. It's because of our love for the things of this earth. How do we overcome that? Well, the saints give us the answer. They say the best way to overcome that love of earthly things and earthly goods is to meditate upon death. To think about the fact that you and everyone you love and everything that you may desire in this world will have an end. That it's not eternal, it doesn't last forever. And as the saying goes, you can't take it with you. And so whatever may fill up that longing in your heart, whatever earthly thing or things that you may seek, if you remind yourself and meditate upon the fact that ultimately that can't bring me happiness, it just can't. For example, if money could make you happy, then the more you had, the happier you should be, right? That seems logical. If that were true, then all of the wealthy people in the world would be content and happy. Clearly, they're not. Otherwise, there would be no gossip columns. And if fame, popularity, prestige, if that made you happy, then clearly movie stars, musicians would be content. But they're not. Ultimately, we see over and over again in this world around us that the good things that are available don't actually fulfill us. We may need them on some level, but they don't actually bring us true happiness and peace. Ultimately, only the things of God, only a relationship with our Lord Jesus, His grace and virtue will truly bring us happiness. But we don't desire it enough because we still have so much love for earthly things. So we meditate, we think about, we contemplate the fact that everything good in this world that we may have or desire, in the end, will come to nothing. We're all going to die one day. All of the people I love in this world will die and be taken away from me, unless I die first and am taken away from them. If I take great comfort in my good looks, those are going to go away too. Just live long enough. Your body will sag, you'll get wrinkles, your hair will turn gray unless you're hiding it. Right? You'll lose your good looks. If it's intelligence that you prize, well, eventually that's going to go too. You live long enough, the memory starts to slip. You're just not as quick or as sharp as you used to be. It doesn't matter what you love or crave or take pride in this life. It will fail you in the end. And the saints realized this, and so they sought something that would last beyond death, beyond this life. They sought Christ, they sought a deep relationship with Him, and they sought virtue and holiness. Now, some may think, because yesterday was my birthday and I turned 40, that I'm just talking about death because, you know, I reached the mountain now and it's all downhill from here. And there may be some truth in that. But I didn't make this up. This comes from the saints themselves. Death is fast approaching us all, whether you believe it or not. It's best to be ready for it, for the end of all things, whenever that may come. So consider, if you will, for just a moment, something in your life that you know you are overly attached to, that you know the Lord is asking you to let go of, at least to put Him first. And imagine the Lord taking that from you. How would you react? Would you hate Him for it? Would you turn your back on Him? Clearly, it would cause you suffering, but would you at least be content that He was with you and that you hadn't lost His love? So many of us, in moments of tragedy and loss, turn our backs on the only one who can help us, the Lord, because we love that thing or that person more than God. That's why we don't become saints. Because God is not first. And so take some time, not only today, but even tomorrow as we pray for the poor souls in purgatory. Take some time to meditate upon your impending doom, your death, the decay of all things, all that you love and hope for in this life. Everything in the end will be taken from us. All that we will be left with is the Lord. And is that enough for us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.